Reverend Dr. Jason Curry, Dean of the Fisk Memorial Chapel at Fisk University, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I think I am. Okay.
Yeah.
He, at least, you know, when I talk to him today, that's
we'll
what
find
he,
out.
Yeah. He's like, what the? You changed. Oh, no. Don't be a traitor on me. Anyway, let me say happy Father's Day to all the daddies and the papas and all the men out there that stand straight and tall and bless the lives of so many people. All of you uncles and great-granddaddies and mentors, brother-in-laws, all of you, every single one of you, old daddies, new daddies, short daddies and tall daddies, we want to wish you a very, very blessed, peaceful, and enjoyable day, and hope that your day is at least one that gives you opportunity to say thank you, Lord, for another one, because, you know, it don't necessarily have to be. Some folks don't have a dad and don't get a chance to be with them. So enjoy what you have while you have it, because you don't know, and you don't know what you don't know. And, Mr. X, happy Father's Day.
Thank you so much.
And,
thank you.
And to the big Lawson, the Reverend, tell him hey for me.
Yes.
And happy Father's Day.
I will.
Mm-hmm. And so are you going to be chilling today or what's going to be?
Yeah.
You know, I'm always up in the business.
That's,
yeah.
That's the plan.
Okay. Then that's yeah. Your plan or that's their plan?
That's the plan.
Oh, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to any restaurant. They can bring it to me.
You know, there's a lot to be said about that.
They can bring it to me, yes.
Well, and I tell you, the menus are different.
That's why we're sitting outside, you know.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
I've been amazed that the menus are just basically everybody's got burgers and mm-hmm. chicken fingers. And,
yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's not on them, you know, that we're so used to.
They've cut back, yeah.
Yeah, they've dramatically changed the menus to smaller things and some of your faves you can't get like you used to, and you know, a lot of things. A couple of places I've been that I said, oh, okay, now I know the story on this, so I'm good. I'll just, you know, do what I've been doing. But I think everybody seems to have gained that COVID-20 that COVID-19 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Everybody's gained it. So y'all is eating. Ain't nobody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, folks are eating. I haven't seen no whole skinny minis out there. I'm sure there's some. But I'm just saying, it looks to me like everybody's gained their pandemic pounds.
True.
And even if you didn't want to or wasn't trying to.
Can't help
you,
it.
I mean, it's like, you know, I declare that this stuff just chased me down the street. You know, this food just chased me down the street. I was like, look, I was minding my own business. Leave me alone. Greasy cheesy. Leave me alone. But it's just that comfort food, you know, and you just really want to have as much comfort and stuff
yeah,
as you
slide
can.
Slide some fruits and vegetables in there.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In between, you know, grab a watermelon. I find watermelon to be the biggest help.
Really?
Yeah. Grab one for, you know, $3.99, $4.99, cut it up, put it in the refrigerator, and then at night when you feel like you need to eat something.
Oh, see, you sound like one of them old healthy people.
I mean, I've got some Death by Chocolate ice cream in the refrigerator.
Oh,
in the freezer,
okay. Oh, but, so you then know, you have that after the watermelon, right?
Or you have it the next day. But at least it gives you something to choose from. It's to try to keep some type of, yeah.
Well, sometimes, you know, fruit is good, but depending on your digestive tract.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, some stuff don't digest well. And some people understand that very well, just like milk products.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes that'll work and sometimes it won't. Anyway, but, yeah, I probably don't eat enough of it because I know I have to waste a lot. I've been wasting a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you want it, when you go in the store, you're like, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to buy that so I can make it with this. And then, you know, you got a freezer full of stuff.
Yeah.
I better get this because it might not. And, you know, the food is there now. It's not like the panic it was. And the toilet paper's there now.
Yes, it is. Still having trouble finding the hand sanitizer.
Oh, you're not going to find that.
But the toilet paper's there.
You're not going to find that. You also are not going to find Lysol.
You know, that's true.
Only thing you can get is the toilet bowl stuff.
Yeah.
Paper towels have been plentiful the whole time. But no, you're not. You can't find a rubbing alcohol, so you can't make any.
Wow, that's something else.
So you know, but you can find hand sanitizer. And I hate to even say this on the air, at drugstores sometimes. And I won't say where because I don't want to go in there.
Yeah, then be gone.
Yeah,
give up your stash.
You know. Sometimes gas stations. But gas stations been gouging their prices.
Yeah, they
got them little tiny little bottles for like $5.99.
Yep.
Gouging. They're gouging. But, I mean, if you have to have it, that, you know, your last ditch effort. So
that's
don't
true.
Y'all be rushing out there, loading up, sending each one of the kids in to get one at a time. Yeah, I know how you do. That's what I heard. Then you send your cousin in.
Yeah.
And then you take the whole family.
Yeah. Everybody stand in line.
Right. Well, yeah. I'm wondering by this point, to a certain degree, people ought to have stuff by now.
You've got some
like
late
3
people.
Or 4 months of just continuously buying everything.
But there's some late people, though.
Well, they'd have to have been real late.
Those people who said it was a hoax, and then they discovered it wasn't.
Well, they said it was a hoax up until they bought all the toilet paper and all the hand sanitizer.
Then they discovered, I might want to go get some stuff.
No, I think they've had it all the time.
Oh, yeah?
That's probably why there wasn't any.
Oh, fake it.
Right?
Okay.
Right? I mean, just, you know, do as I say and not as I do, you know. That's one of them deals.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm going to get to some headlines, a little bit of this and that and stuff. Sunday morning, clouds coming up around us. Rain is in the forecast. It's been hot as a blue blazer, hasn't it?
It was hot yesterday.
Oh, Lord, it was blistering. Mm-hmm. It's been blistering the last couple of days. And it's been so hot, it's been really hard to enjoy yourself. I made, I think it was Saturday. You know, it was interesting watching black folks discover Juneteenth for the first time.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, you know, y'all, where y'all
where
been?
Where y'all been?
Yeah, and I'm like, black folk, don't tell off on yourself. Because I know Juneteenths have come and gone in this area and other parts. And none of y'all showed up at the different things. They used to have, I remember one, do you remember, I think it was at Hadley Park. Back in the 90s, they used to have
it out there.
Yeah, and not that many people came.
Yeah, I know.
You know, because people was like, I ain't worrying about emancipation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then Miss Sharon Hall had formed her Juneteenth holiday thing, and she would have hers. You know that that church over there on Monroe Street by Kroger's. I think it's one of them ones that got. It's down from Bishop Campbell's. It's on that corner right there. I think that's the area where she had hers at. Out there.
The one that got damaged by the tornado.
She had used to have it there, and some members of the community would come, and her frustration was that it wasn't over 35, 40 people there because y'all, you know.
Didn't care.
Well, and doesn't know Black history.
And didn't care to show up for it. Like, oh, well, you know.
And now they're just packing in. I mean, y'all are, we funny in our community. Y'all are hysterical. and if they didn't teach you in school, well, read a book, go to the library. You know, it's not the only place you can learn about Black history. We're sitting up here at the 1866 Black History. Meharry, TSU. I mean, you know, Nashville's a treasure trove of history. So, but I mean, I'm just, you know, it's just been astounding watching this. So, I have, because in other places, in my, where I'm from in Kansas, where I lived before I came here, they used to have like a Juneteenth parade, the Black, and Black folks did. And then it got too big. And you know how, you know what happens when there's too many Black folk gather.
Yeah, people get nervous.
No, we got to figure out a way how to shut this thing down. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what they're doing now, but I can just remember very clearly as a bell back in the 70s and 80s when they were doing. So I guess it depends on where you live, because some cities is big, you know.
Yeah.
They did big celebrations and parades and this and that. And so the question will be, now that you're fully awoke and you fully know what it means, are you going to be in participating in Emancipation Day every year? Like you get psyched up for 4th of July and buy the fireworks and get the grill out. Will you be doing that? Mm. And I'm just asking, because I don't want it to be whoop, there it is, and then it went. Whoop, there's gone. I don't really hope that that doesn't happen, because there's opportunity for this to be a multi-generational remembrance, and because the young ones that were there as well. So, you know, we'll see what happens next year. And there may have been other various and sundry things, but there wasn't no big giant crowds like it was. You know, I went over by Priest Lake, I think Saturday, it was Juneteenth, and the folks that were there, they had like an impromptu grilling, and I was like, is this?
Nothing like some food.
Hey, I'm like,
nothing like some food.
They had canopies out there, lawn chair. I'm like, now when did all this begin? So, and they were out there celebrating Juneteenth in the Overlook area that is normally not filled with Black folks. Mm-hmm. I thought that was just interesting, you know, that, you know, they were there to celebrate that. So don't just do it then, y'all. Don't just do it this year, because the man, the dude in Washington got you goat. Because that's what he did. He got you goat.
He said he made it famous.
Well, yeah, he awokened.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that.
Yeah, he awokened some folk that had clueless.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole lot of Black folk walking around here and he didn't know.
He did what? Juneteenth? Oh. And then they got angry just because.
Give me my shirt. I want me a shirt. I want a T-shirt. Yeah. As immediately I saw T-shirts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's T-shirts and hats and everybody went straight Juneteenth.
So I do have to give him credit for that. He did put some spotlight on that.
by rubbing it in there to say, I don't care about y'all. That's what it takes to make y'all get
that.
Right.
That's true, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's true. Well, don't tell him, for goodness sakes, because he'll keep rubbing and rubbing.
Even God had to use Pharaoh, right?
Well, Lord, don't start me up, Jesus.
Yeah, even he had, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if he can use donkeys and birds and trees, he can use Pharaoh. So don't, you trying to imply, okay.
I'm just saying, you know.
Well, to me, there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah,
all right?
Even God had to,
he just don't have the skirt on. Because he has the authoritarianism. So, anyway, this is Pastor's Roundtable today. So we might hear a word or two. The guest pastors are with our Father's Day edition here on the show. Reverend Dr. Jason Curry, Dean of the Fisk Chapel, and Brother Robert Taylor, Church Administrator for the Word of Life Christian Center International. And what's pastor's name there? Because he was been here before. Bishop somebody?
It is, it was on the tip of my tongue. What is his name?
Johnson. His wife came with him, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Time. That's correct.
And they just prayed.
Arthur, I think. Is it Arthur? Pastor Arthur?
Yeah, I will know for sure in a minute when I look it up. Anyway, they'll be in, and we'll be having a discussion about a variety and a host of issues. And soon, I'm going to have a conversation with you, not today because I got the roundtable, about your book on fatherhood.
Oh, okay.
What's the name of it?
Fatherhood. Hashtag fatherhood.
Hashtag fatherhood.
Yeah. Okay. I was weary about putting it on a schedule. You know,
I always got time and a reason. I was going to do it today, but then I said, no, I don't want to make it about your book. I want to make it about Jesus.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, Pastor's Roundtable. Yeah. So as it fell on the third Sunday. So, yes, we will have that conversation. Yeah. But meanwhile, what's the short? Give me two sentences.
It's basically, my daughter called it a devotional.
Okay. And so like a daily devotional?
Yeah, devotional, where you just sort of
get your daily prayers?
Yeah, and say a message to your children.
Okay.
Yeah. And with scriptures, yeah.
Oh, and each day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a devotional.
Yeah, it started out as tweets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you compiled your tweets and now you're making money.
Well, I don't know about the making money, but yeah.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
And what did the family say when you presented it to them?
They loved it.
Of course.
They loved it.
That's what they're supposed to do. That's beautiful.
Yeah, because it was, because I mentioned you in the book. I mentioned Dr. Miles Monroe. I mentioned, my father and my grandfather. So I sort of explained.
Well, I was deeply moved by the fact that my name was in the front.
Yeah.
I'm like, praise the Lord.
Yeah. Because I mentioned, because I sort of explained how Dr. Miles Monroe, when he was on the show, would always say, leave the grave empty.
Yeah.
And he would say stuff like that. And so it sort of, you know. Then
he
after
said
he
a lot.
It, so, yeah.
He said a lot.
Yeah.
And his, his books, I have my own personal, after having several thousand authors and books on over the years, I have a select, and my select books in my granny's bookcase, I got from my mom's, that I told her I always wanted when I told her when I was a kid, I want that. So, you know, finally. It was delivered to me. Anyway, but I have in there Dr. Moreau's books. And, because, he had written so many, but I don't have all of them.
Oh, yeah.
But
I
have the, because he'd written over 40. But I had some of the prime, the absolute prime. And when I was glancing at them yesterday, I saw, the Black Wall Street book.
Really?
Yes. And Hannibal Johnson, attorney Hannibal Johnson of Tulsa, because I've done numerous bukus, as we used to say back in the day, bukus, of shows on that topic. So if you're listening to this broadcast over these years, you have know some black history, because that's been an emphasis.
How long ago was that?
I will tell you, because he signed it and dated it.
Was that at the old station? That,
no.
It was here?
Here.
Okay.
Because he's been on like two or three times. But he autographed this book for me on June the 29th.
Wow.
2010.
Wow.
Okay. I said, do I have some Juneteenth history, some Black Wall Street history?
Wow.
Yeah, it was right after. And that was the show I did with him that was right after the Juneteenth and all the other stuff.
Wow.
And getting him booked.
Yeah.
Okay. And it was that date.
I'm surprised he hadn't popped up on TV somewhere.
Oh, he probably will.
He probably has. We just hadn't seen it.
I've seen Dr. Crutcher.
Yeah. I've seen quite a few guests.
And her dad, too. Mm-hmm. I saw her dad. But anyway, so I'm going to bring it in.
Wow.
Because it got some photos of, you know.
Yeah.
And that book is probably still, it was written originally in 1998.
Wow.
And, and I know Al Kibalon down there, our dear yourself.
I think, I'm sure he has.
He's been carrying that book for years.
Yep.
So, and I'm sure they have it down there.
I bet it's flying off the shelves now.
It very well may be.
Because people who've been Googling, trying to find out more information.
Yeah.
You know, so there are certain concentrated information. So there's
and
not
this one's
a,
pretty
There's
pretty
not a
substantial.
Lot out there. So, yeah.
It's pretty substantial. You know, it's got a lot of pages and a lot of information. Yep. He did a lot of history.
Yep.
And had a lot of photos in it. And because as time has changed and evolved with this whole thing, you know, for a long time people were saying riot.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's massacre.
Yep.
Because there's been, you know, more emphasis placed.
Yep.
And call a thing a thing. And it is what it is.
Yep.
And so.
That's interesting. That right there is a subject, because that's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I heard.
That's a Dr. Charles Williams topic.
Yeah.
And he's coming up soon.
Yep.
But the point is that opportunities have been abound for people, black folk, and, you know, white people too, to learn about the African Americans, the black folks. And don't be saying, well, what about white people? What about you? Yeah. You got everything. Must you have everything? Everything? I mean, come on. Learn something. Broaden your horizons. But I'm just, you know, making a point that, you know, as a talk show with a focus and a long time status on the air, I feel very proud of the fact that the focus has been on topics and guests and experts in that black history arena.
Yeah.
So if you turn your radio on, hello, ding dong, anybody home, turn it on, y'all, to this one right here, WFSK, you hear it, because that's what I do. I don't do pocketbooking here very, very seldom. Am I going to do, you know, and I did have the show on about the black entrepreneur that had the hair product.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I ain't got time because, see, you know, this stuff is way too interesting. And our folks have come too far and done too much. And I'm so doggone proud of them. I don't know what to do. Proud of us and the accomplishments mm-hmm. that our people have made. So knowing that's the case, we're going to take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. WFSK recently turned 47 years old and didn't get a chance to celebrate like we normally do with our annual spring fun drive for Birthday Bucks. Those tax-deductible donations make all the difference in the world for the operation of WFSK 24/7 with the best in smooth and contemporary jazz. Please wish a happy belated birthday to Jazzy 88 WFSK, Nashville's jazz station, by making your donations right now online at WFSKFM.org. That's WFSKFM.org. Or by mail. Checks payable to WFSK, 1000 17th Avenue North, Nashville, 37208. We're Jazzy 88, serving Nashville since 1973. We're Jazzy 88 WFSK. We're Nashville's jazz station.
Next time on Jazz Night in America, NEA Jazz Master Dee Dee Bridgewater on what it means to take on the music of Abbie Lincoln and Nina Simone.
I saw Nina Simone the first time on the Ed Sullivan Show, and she came out and she had a dress on made out of African fabric, and she had her hair natural, but it was fixed like an African queen, and she was barefoot, and I was like, who is that?
I'm Christian McBride, and that's on the next Jazz Night in America.
Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m., and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
Did you know that every year, public school teachers spend nearly $500 of their own money for student supplies? Let's do the math. That comes out to over $1.2 billion a year. And that's just not right. At Donors Choose, we want students and teachers to have the tools they need for a great education. And now, more than ever, they need your help. Here's what you can do. Go to DonorsChoose.org and choose from teachers' requests that support reading, math, science, history, and more. Once a request is funded, we'll take care of shipping everything directly to the teacher. It's that easy. You'll receive thank you letters and photos from students and teachers and a report of how every dollar was spent. Teachers' needs have never been greater. Learn more at DonorsChoose.org.
Donors choose. Support a classroom.
Build a future.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Got a little sprinkle coming through our region. So depending on where you are, you might get a little precipitation fall on you. Umbrellas would be good to have. We have a 50% chance for some showers and some thunderstorms today. It's going to cloud up pretty much for the remainder of the day. So enjoy that little cup full of sunshine that you had, because that's about all you're going to get today. And our high is going to be 85. So with the rain, it's going to be just a tad cooler, and we'll take it. The rain is expected to be up to somewhere between a tenth and a quarter of an inch. And it is possible for it to be more than that during the thunderstorm. And our chances for rain drop down to 20 tomorrow. They shoot back up to 70 tomorrow and tomorrow night. And, you know, just looking across the board at this forecast, right straight across, it's some pretty good precipitation chances most of the week, at least the first 3 or 4 days up through Wednesday night, and then back again, a little touch on Thursday. So if you had outdoor plans this weekend, they are likely going to be, you're going to be dealing with some type of rain. Our highs will be in the mid to upper 80s, and not as blister as it was yesterday or day before, for sure. But some sprinkles out there, depending on where you are as to what you're dealing with, and 69 degrees in the city. Now, let me get to a couple of quick headlines here. Out of the region, comedian D.L. Hughley has announced he's tested positive for COVID-19 following his collapse on stage during a performance here in Nashville. In a video posted to Twitter yesterday, Hughley says he was tested while being treated for exhaustion and dehydration after passing out at Zany's on Friday. He says the COVID-19 diagnosis was surprising because he was otherwise asymptomatic. That's a lot of concern, people. The asymptomatic, you don't have it, don't know it. You think you're all good, and next thing you know, you fell out. He said he plans to quarantine in his Nashville hotel room for 14 days. The rest of the 57-year-old shows at the Zany's Club were canceled, and probably the Zany's Club is canceled. At least it ought to be for a little while to go in the sanitizing and all that. In addition to his stand-up comedy, D.L. Hughley is an actor, author, and television and radio host. So there is a reason for him to be exhausted and likely dehydrated. So hopefully he will lay down somewhere and get some rest and just let the checks roll in and get some rest. Because wearing 99 hats obviously is not healthy. And jetting around in a pandemic, etc. And doing the things you do. So hopefully he will be feeling better soon and do what the doctors say. And I'm certain whoever his physicians are and nurses, there will be a lot of jokes. A lot of jokes coming out of that. A lot of jokes.
That's true.
And anyway, and that asymptomatic portion is really, that's worrisome. And it should be worrisome to a lot of people.
That's true.
Who are still, mm-hmm. you know, and black folk, we, now, look, okay, help me, Jesus. We all know, or those that are using our brains and think, and have heard that our community is struck, hit hardest with this. And for us to carry on like, I don't need no man. I don't need this. I don't need that. I heard this cat on the news. This brother in downtown Nashville say, well, I don't know, when the question came to him about, you know, are you concerned? He's like, well, I don't know anybody who died. I'm like,
wow,
dude. Okay. That's, you know, no, nobody I know died. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm like, really? 120,000 people are dead. And maybe you don't know any of them or don't know anybody that lost a loved one. Yeah. But, I mean, you know. So he didn't really believe it. You know, I was like, oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. So, you know, I'm just saying. Our community, could, when we know better, could we please do better? Because our president is not working on our behalf, for sure. You know, he don't want no tests. He don't want, you know, this and that, and just hope you dumb and die. I mean,
he don't want you to take no tests.
No, he don't want you to know. He doesn't want you to have any health care.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to wear a mask. Yeah. He doesn't want you to do this. I mean, you know, so what does that tell you?
That is crazy.
Yeah,
isn't
right.
It?
You don't have a chance.
He don't want you to have health care. No. He don't want you to have a mask. No. He don't want you to get tested.
No. So what does that mean? That you love me? And you're always going to be by my side, or that you hate me?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
And that is for his supporters as well. Equally for them.
They're out there cheering.
Okay. Yeah, but, well, you know.
I'm like, wow.
I mean, if you just dwell on that for just a second. And speaking of dwell, let me pull in Brother Taylor. Good morning, Robert Taylor. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing this morning?
Well, you know, I'm feeling blessed and highly favored. It's Father's Day, and I'm glad for the fathers, because I know y'all have a job on your hands, you know, trying to raise those children. And I wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day today.
Oh, Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Now, I know you have children, but let's hear about some thoughts on fatherhood from you this morning, and how many children and how old and all that stuff.
All right. We might be here for a minute. I have 7 children.
Okay. So I know you know about fatherhood.
I do. I know a little bit.
Yeah,
I have some experience with being a father.
Yeah.
And so first I have to say that my wife and I are both Fiskites. And so all of these kids are Fisk made.
All right.
And we want to acknowledge that first off. But my oldest is just turned 17.
Uh-huh.
And her name is Naomi. Uh-huh. And she'll be a high school senior this coming up year.
So we don't have to wonder where she's going to school?
We're working on it.
Okay.
I've told all my kids that they go into Fisk unless they plan on paying for school themselves. She's interested in being either an anesthesiologist or a pharmacist.
Oh,
so
man.
She's looking at a couple other schools, but she is definitely HBCU bound.
Amen. Glory. And you yourself have a degree in biology, so it makes sense.
Yes. And then my wife was an English major.
Oh,
and
Lord.
So we span the gamut. And,
yeah.
I have a preschooler as well. So
man.
We have pretty much the entire range of pre-college education going on in the house right now.
Oh, no question.
Especially during this time of stay-at-home orders and all of that, we have definitely had to up our game in the education department, and making sure that our kids get everything they need academically while they're at home.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. All your skill sets had to come into play. Now, you also have other degrees, etc. So I know education is crucial to the upbringing of your children. You and your wife are very understand the significance of education and how that can certainly excel you in life and help you make the correct decisions. You are founder and president of the New Life Center. That is a 501c3 nonprofit that provides parenting education workshops for fathers and their families. So you work specifically with the fatherhood population. What kinds of, before we roll into topic about this pastor's roundtable, what types of issues are you helping develop in your workshops for today's fathers and their families?
So currently I have a contract with the Metro Public Health Department on their Strong Babies Grant. And the Strong Babies Grant, is the purpose of that program is to reduce infant mortality rates. Mm-hmm. So infant mortality rates is when we study the number of children that pass away before their first birthday.
Hmm.
And that particular program is funded by the federal Healthy Start funding.
Mm-hmm.
And that particular funding has been available to health departments and other nonprofit organizations for over 30 years.
Mm.
And I have been involved in that program over the past 10 years, trying to help them develop fatherhood programs that are able to support men and fathers who just may not be ready for the fatherhood experience.
Okay.
And so the work that I do is around newborn and infant care, helping the dads to understand the importance and the role that they play in bringing this new child into this world.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where the idea of the New Life program came from.
Uh-huh.
The New Life program works with young men who sometimes have to start a new life themselves,
uh-huh.
in order to take care of the new life that they're bringing into the world.
Yes, oh yes.
And so that's the work that I'm involved in right now. I also have other programs that we do that works with fathers of older children, and just ensuring that they understand who they are as men first. I think that's one of the most important pieces to being a good father. You need to develop yourself into a good man.
Yes.
So that you can then carry on those characteristics and traits and transfer them to your children.
Definitely. And that's exactly what makes the most sense, because if you don't do it, you expect somebody to come in and do it? I mean, really?
Yeah, and I just did a fatherhood roundtable the other day with my brother's keeper chapter here in Nashville, and that was one of the conversations that came up, is that in today's age of social media and our kids having access information that we could have never imagined having access to growing up.
That's right. It
creates an additional challenge to parents and then being a father. Just because they have access to information that we may not necessarily want them to have yet. And so we have to be able to address those things as they come up, sometimes before our children are mature enough to handle the topic or before we as fathers are able to handle
the problem. Okay. Now, let me also say Happy Father's Day and good morning to Reverend Dr. Jason Curry, Dean Curry of the Fisk Chapel, and director of, what's the program?
The Religious Life.
Yeah, you know the name. You know, like when somebody says the radio station at Fisk, I say WFSK, you know, because, you know, that's what you do. But you know Robert, right? He's alum.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Robert, you know Dean Curry, right?
Yes, I think we've met maybe a couple of times at convocation and so forth.
Oh, okay.
Right, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, well, okay, y'all met. Now, let me, when we come in from the break, Robert and Dean Curry, I'm getting reflections from him right now on Father's Day and what it means. Seven children.
Okay.
And he says he feels that confident that some of the seven are going to come here.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife is alum too.
Okay.
But those children don't have a chance, do they?
It'll be a challenge.
Yeah, yes. But I mean, you know, two parents from the same institution.
Yes.
You think you really have a chance, child?
No.
Come on, Ted. Let's see. He won't even answer the question because he already knows. His kids go to HBCUs. So I'm just saying he already understands. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to get some more wise words for the dads. It's Happy Father's Day to you, and hopefully your morning is blessed and highly favored. We're taking the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blue Time in the City.
You have to come from the gut.
That's Jeff Floyd. He's talking this weekend from the gut. He has the Fast Track Blues Soundbite. And we'll have O.V. Wright performing one of his past performances live this weekend. And I'm going to give you my top 10 summer listening blues album. This is good. Join me, Rosine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City. this weekend right here.
Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Work, school, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, the gym, to the airport to pick up loved ones, to the kids' soccer games, piano lessons, out for movie night, to hear your favorite band in the city, over to Grandma and Grandpa's house, and on last year's amazing road trip. Your vehicle takes you so many places. Protect it. When you leave your vehicle, remember to always take your keys or key fob with you and lock the doors. If you suspect auto theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB, or visit our website at www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And this morning is our Pastor's Roundtable for the month of June. And let me say that if you're just tuning in, we're so glad to have you with us here on the air at WFSK in Nashville, 88.1 FM, or if you're listening online at WFSKFM.org or any of the other streaming services where you can hear us loud and clear. What's up? Our guest this morning for the Pastor's Roundtable, Reverend Dr. Jason Curry. He's the Dean of the Fisk Memorial Chapel, and Brother Robert Taylor. He's the Church Administrator for the Word of Life Christian Center International. And Dean Curry, could you, you have two children?
Three.
Three?
Yes.
Okay. And, you know, I remember one Father's Day, you were with us some years back, and you talked about growing up in a household without your dad there.
Yes.
And but you're the consummate dad. You are super dad. I see you in the yard with the kids. I see you walking the kids' dog.
Yes.
That's love, okay? I see you. Your son is the painter?
Yes.
Okay. Right. I see you.
You see? Okay, yes.
Okay, I'm watching you because I'm straight across the street. I'm like, look at him out there doing daddy stuff. So you're making up for a lot of things because you didn't have anybody to show you how to do them, but you just wanted to be a good dad. Is that what you're practicing?
It is. It is. You know, I thank God that I have the opportunity to be a dad, and it's something I wanted to get right in my life.
Right.
I'm extremely grateful for the influence of my grandfather.
He
raised me as his own, and my uncle, my mother's sister's husband, and they sort of took me under their wing. But it was a bit sporadic. I didn't live with them, but I needed a role model. So I said if I ever had the opportunity and so blessed to have a wonderful wife, I was going to be a good dad based on what I've seen and what I've experienced through my uncle and grandfather. So I enjoy spending time with them. They take a lot of, I guess, resources in general, time and money.
And patience.
Yes.
How old are the children?
Let's see. My oldest is 22 and just turned 22. And the twins are, let me get this right, 19. So, two boys and a girl. The boy and the and the girl are twins, and I have an older boy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So y'all got a lot of action going on over that house, man. Them kids be ruling it, don't they? They be ruling it. Robert, the kids be ruling the house, or you and your wife got it?
We thought we had it until our 4-year-old came along, and he just kind of took completely over. So he thinks he's 44 right now.
Yeah, so he's running it, huh?
Yeah, we had it together with those first picks, and then that last one came in and just took completely over, and then I think he's bringing the rest of them with him.
And let me ask, Robert, where is the church located, the Word of Life Christian Center International?
So we're located at 4100 Clarksville Highway. Uh-huh. We're just up past the Kroger on Clarksville Highway, right before you get to King's Lane, across from the old Hickory Credit Union.
Okay.
We're up at the top of the hill there. It's difficult to see the building from the street, but we have a big old sign down by the road there.
What's pastor's name?
Pastor is Dr. Alexander Arthur, who was also a professor at Fisk University in the political science department for many years until, I believe, 1999 is when he retired and went into the ministry full time.
Oh. Well, your stuff run deep, don't it?
Yes, a little bit. We got some love for Fisk.
Yeah, love. Oh, man, because I think he was here about a year or so ago or 2 years ago, and he brought his wife, and it was just really lovely to have her presence and to support him in the church. But I'm glad that he was able to have you come in his place today so you would have representation. Now, what are y'all doing for service since the pandemic?
So I actually, as the administrator, I support our live streaming.
Uh-huh.
And so we have revamped our audiovisual department to be able to get with the 21st century and be able to live stream regularly. So we live stream to YouTube and Facebook,
mm-hmm.
and we live stream our Wednesday night Bible study as well as our Sunday morning services,
mm-hmm.
and so that's what we've been doing. We actually have allowed members to come to the church,
mm-hmm.
For service. Our sanctuary holds about 300 folks, and so we're able to social distance for those who are able to attend, and so if anyone wants to view our services, they can go to our website at WLCCI.org,
mm-hmm.
and there's a button for video sermons, and it'll take you to the live services if we're live at that time. Our services start at 10 a.m.
Okay.
on Sunday mornings and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday night.
Excellent. And how has it been received, impact for the folks that attend and, you know, in that community around you?
I think the folks that are attending are, you know, are diehard saints. Like, they definitely support our ministry and are there mainly because they have some type of role in service. As far as being an usher,
mm-hmm.
Working the cameras, they be some of our board members, and then some of the other ministers that support the ministry as people are prepared to give their life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the main folks that are attending live. Most of our congregants are still viewing via social media and YouTube, and mm-hmm. so. It's been a comfortable place for us. We've also added some additional ways for people to support the ministry financially. And mm-hmm. so we have a Cash App now and some of the other things that are necessary to allow people to continue to contribute to the spread of the gospel through our ministry. And
amen.
So we have really adapted to this time, and I think it actually has been a blessing to put us in a better situation to reach out to more folks that we hadn't been reaching in the past.
Amen. Amen. And what about you, Dean Curry? I know the students have been gone since March. How have you altered, and did you alter things before when the news first came out about, that was early March when it, it was first came out about the pandemic.
Right. Actually, we just followed the university's plan, the university schedule, mm-hmm. and ceased service immediately. Yeah. I think it was around the time of spring break, so we mm-hmm. had a lag there. And we stopped the service, but we didn't stop staying in contact with
Amen.
One another. So we continued to meet via Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the chapel follows the cycle of the school. So when the school isn't in session, the university, then the chapel isn't in session.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to figure out a plan. Many of my colleagues have mm-hmm. Virtual services, and we're probably going to do that in August when the students return.
Okay.
Yes.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of prep are you doing now for that in August opening?
Sure. We have a program, and I thank God for those people who contributed to the building of the Religious Life program
mm-hmm.
Since I've been there and prior to my tenure with Reverend Sanders and many other deans.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do now is get up to speed technologically.
Oh, yeah.
I sort of neglected that part because I've had a number of other priorities in the chapel,
mm-hmm.
but we've got to get a television camera. We've got to get the platform, I believe it's VMO, to do the live streaming.
Sure.
So we have to build the technological infrastructure.
And how do you do that? With money, right?
Right. That's
so,
right.
Excuse me, black community. All right. We working for Jesus, too. And you know there's some folk in this town.
Right.
That can make a camera and everything you need happen in about 10 minutes.
Wow.
They could if they wanted to. There's a bunch of one-check riders in Nashville. A bunch, okay? Because I have a vision of at least two of them coming to here.
Yes.
I have vision.
Yes.
Now, I'm just asking God to bring it to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't shown up as of right now, but I'm just making the point clear.
Mm-hmm.
There are too many people industry-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And wealth beyond measure in the music industry in this city,
mm-hmm.
country and all that, it would just be a now see, I'm about to prophesy.
Yes, yes.
In this kitchen, in this room, because it's stuff like that is so doable,
mm-hmm.
you know. But folks, well, how come you don't give?
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't ask us why we don't have. When was the last time you know, gave some love?
Mm-hmm.
So that all sounds good, but we certainly hope that people will come and, you know, say, I believe what you're doing is this. I want to support it.
Well,
that would be,
you.
Wouldn't that be beautiful?
It would, and we're praying and working toward that. And most of the constituents, members, if you will, that attend the chapel
yeah.
are students. They don't have the disposable income
sure.
as, like, working adults. And thank God for my ministry. This is year number 17. So,
is it?
Yes, ma'am.
Bless Jesus.
Yes, yes. So, big projects take time, given where they are economically, and I'm not going to abandon my ministry or
yeah.
the constituency, but we're getting there. We're
yeah.
getting there, yes.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, you know, I'm just proud to hear that. Because that would certainly make a difference in that chapel.
Yes.
Live from the Fisk Memorial Chapel.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. I feel it. I mean, I feel it right now. On stage, live, the Fisk Jubilee Singers.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. Videotaped for sale for $29.95.
Yes.
I'm just saying, and it stays here. It ain't nobody else done, you know, put their name on it. No, it stays up in this house, up here on the campus. Now, y'all get the whole thing, you
yes.
know, that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it is what it is. Anyway, Robert, when we come back, I want to ask you your thoughts on fatherhood. Explaining what you go through when your children leave the house in terms of being black in America and as young men growing up and now having children of your own. what that was like for you. And same for you, Dean Curry,
mm-hmm.
because that's where America is right now, mm-hmm. at the crossroads of so many things are intersecting. And I think that the more we talk about it, the more people have an understanding. But if you don't turn your radio on over here, you won't hear it. Let's take a quick time out, and we'll be right back.
Feels like Sunday morning. You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.